Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Adventures of a Mom Patriot talk show. Today's show will be packed with information that can be shared with all that are concerned about their family's well-being and safety. Make sure you share the link to the show with your friends and family, as it will be available as a podcast after the live broadcast. The podcast of the show can be found on www.blogtalkradio.com/adventures-of-a-mom-patriot. Families need to be prepared for situations such as natural disasters, potential unemployment, and the ongoing economic burden that has plagued us all in the past several years. With grocery prices skyrocketing and the rising gas prices, many families are looking towards ways that they can streamline their budgets while preparing for the continued downturn in the country's economic situation. It's vital that all families are prepared with the resources and skills that will sustain and protect their families during emergency situations. Today's guests are on the front line in the education of emergency preparedness. I'd like to welcome Stephanie Scruggs, National Co-Director of the 912 Project and of Unite in Action. Along with Stephanie's other projects that promote the restoration of our country to its founding principles, she has dedicated herself to providing families the resources and the education about food storage. She travels with the E3 Corps team to groups that wish to learn about emergency preparedness. Our other guest today will be Benjamin Smith of E3 Corps. Benjamin is a retired Navy SEAL that provides the skills to educate families on topics of personal protection and the tools to be prepared for all types of situations that many don't realize are endangering our safety.
We have also Joel Hibbert, who is a former Special Forces on the line, and he's also with E3 Corps today.
That's great. I want to actually personally thank Benjamin and Joel for your service to our country. My youngest brother is also retired Special Forces, so I'd also like to thank your families for their service to the military family. It's really so important for everyone to recognize that behind every serviceman and woman, there's a family that's serving in their own way. So we have a ton of information to cover today, and while I was researching, and I realized that this is a topic that truly could have been a two-hour show. So, our callers, please be patient, and we'll try to get to you as soon as possible. And feel free to join us in chat and post your questions and comments for our guests. So, thank you all for taking the time out of your busy schedules to join us today on our show. And I would like to give our listeners a bit of background about how each of you became involved in the projects for what you've dedicated your time and efforts, and what motivates you to stay involved. Let's start with something.
Wow. I just started watching what was happening with the country, actually. I was really fortunate. My parents did well. However, both of my grandparents had suffered during the Great Depression. And while they came out of it and did quite well themselves, my grandmother made sure that her children and grandchildren knew how to take care of themselves. I mean, she wore mink coats, but she still canned vegetables from a garden she grew in the front yard, much to the chagrin of her high-end neighbors. But she always instilled it in us that you need to be able to take care of yourself no matter what, because you never know what's going to happen, and you simply can't rely on what you think may or may not be there. And certainly it's never been in my family's lifeblood to rely on the government for anything. And so I kind of grew up with that kind of perspective. My family also shot and hunted and had weapons, and so protection was always an issue too. My father was an assistant prosecutor, and whenever somebody got out of prison, they'd write death threats and stuff, so my father made sure that his daughters knew how to protect themselves. So growing up that way, it gave me, I was just born this way, I guess you could say. But then as I was watching what was going on in the country, although I had not used many of these skills other than my shooting skills in quite some time, it became clear that I was going to need to brush up on my canning and my preparedness and things like that. And so I did, and when I took the year off to plan the March on D.C., our finances just went down the toilet, and suddenly it became an issue where it was not just a hobby to garden and can, it was a necessity. And the more I started looking around after coming out of that and going back to work, I saw friends and family and colleagues within the 9/12 and Tea Party movement were losing jobs and were just struggling. And we had been talking, of course, for quite some time at the 9/12 Project about teaching preparation skills. I mean, Lord knows, Glenn Beck's been telling us for 3 years, stock a year's worth of food. Well, buying freeze-dried food can be expensive. So we decided to put together our preparedness classes. And then I met the guys at E3 Core a while back, and they were doing, you know, the opposite end of preparedness, which is how to take care of your family. And I think we can all agree, anybody who's listening to this call, that there are some dangerous things going on in this country outside of the whole new Black Panthers Trayvon case in Florida. Outside of the Occupy stuff, it's just when times get bad, people do bad things, unfortunately, and you have to be able to protect your family and everything you have. So we got to talking, Joel, Ben, and I, about how we could kind of mix our skills and put together a beginning-to-end project, how to protect your family from famine, you know, and how to feed your family in a time of crisis. And then they come in and they bring in the how to protect your assets in your family in a time of crisis. And I have to say, not just in a time of crisis, some of the things these guys have taught me in going through training with them are just basic stuff, you know, how to have situational awareness and things like that, because I have little kids. You know, little kids tend to run off when you go to public places. How can I be more aware of protecting them and keeping my family unit together and making sure that they are safe, even when there's not a crisis going on? So it's been an awesome partnership so far. We are really excited about the classes and trainings and seminars and just the volume of information we've been able to put out across the country so far, and are looking to do even more things, particularly with women's defense classes. And I'll let Joel talk about that in a minute. But I just want to make sure that my friends and family are safe from bad things, because I think bad things are coming. So with that, that's
as mothers, that's like instinctual. And that's what I love so much about this project is, We rely on our instincts, but it's also educating ourselves about being aware of situations and knowing how to react. So
absolutely. I know that a lot of my friends have given me a lot of heat because I'm in Florida, and with the Trayvon Williams case, if anybody heard the Black Panthers call that Breitbart and the Blaze reported on, I mean, these people were saying awful things. We're going to kill all the white people. I'm not making this up. These are direct quotes. You can hear the audio on Breitbart. Kill all the crackers, blood in the streets, blah, 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 blah. And I know a lot of women that are like, I'm just not going to go out of my house. And I'm like, I'm going. I got 2 45s wearing right now. Bring it. You cross me and try and get to my kids, I'm taking you out. I'm not going to hide in a corner from these people.
Well, Joel, I want to thank you once again for your service to our country. And this is the first time we actually get to meet. So I'd like to know a little bit about just your background and what got you involved with E3 Core.
Well, thanks again for everything, and I appreciate the opportunity to explain a little bit more. Background-wise, I was in the Navy as well. I was a Special Amphibious Reconnaissance Corpsman with Force Reconnaissance. So that's my background there. You know, multiple areas of operation. But one of the key concepts here that E3 Core really initiated from was Ben, Mark, and I, the founders of Warfighter Science and E3 Core Solutions, came together and realized that the citizens, the responsible citizens of this country, needed better venues and better application of skills that can reach inside their homes and reach inside their lives and really make an impact to make it safer and make it more viable, a solution for these citizens to protect themselves and create the communication and the dialogue and the skill sets necessary to keep everybody, including your children and yourself, safe.
Let's start with food storage, because I think that's vital, especially in our economic times. I mean, I know that, Stephanie, you were talking about crisis situations, but a lot of moms and families are dealing with unemployment, which is a crisis situation. And by being prepared, you know, with food storage, you're not, as a mom, you're not having to work at putting food in your children's mouth. So I'm really interested in that, too.
Well, there's a lot of things that you can do, and one of the biggest parts of my class is just how to do all this stuff on the cheap. You know, absolutely, if you've got the money, get some freeze-dried food, maybe 3 months' worth. But short of that, you're better served economically to start doing and making things yourself. And so one of the things we talk about in our classes is the best ways in how to get food cheaply and affordably, and then to be able to store it, whether you're talking about freeze-drying it or freezing it or canning, which is my favorite. And some tips are so simple that you wouldn't believe. I mean, for instance, making friends with your grocery store manager and your produce and meat manager is the best possible thing that you can do. Because when the fruit or the vegetables in the produce section starts to look just a little less than perfect, they throw it away. Well,
wow.
If you go to the produce manager, you can usually cut a deal with them. A lot of times they'll give it to you for free. Most of the time, if you walk in and say, hey, can I give you 10 cents on the dollar for that, they will. And so suddenly you've got, you know, $10 worth of fresh fruit and vegetables for a buck. And then you just take it home and freeze it or can it or whatever. Some websites will tell you that, you know, fruit has to be in absolute perfect condition in order to freeze or can it. It's a load of hooey. When I was a kid, my grandfather had apple orchards. We used the old apples that were on the ground to make cider with. So you just take it home. But the same thing applies to the meats, too. With the USDA, they have to sell it on the expiration date. After that, throw it away. So with meat, you just have to be prepared to come home that day and either cook it and eat it or freeze it or cook it and freeze it, whatever you're going to do it that day, and you're fine. And actually, most butchers will tell you that you've got 2 to 3 days, depending on the type of meat it is, from the expiration date to use it, so you've got a little extra. So it's little tips like that that can make a big difference in your family's grocery budget and being able to store and prepare food. Another great thing that people can do in if they live in rural areas, or often it's even worth the drive, is to find farmers and ask to buy their seconds. Now, seconds are the stuff they can't sell to the grocery store because it's got a small blemish on it, or maybe there's, like on apples, for instance, it's called a scab. It's nothing bad. It's just, you know, a dark spot on the skin. It's not a bruise or anything like that. I actually drove all the way up to Alabama last fall under the guise of taking a camping trip and came home with a pickup truck full of apples in the back. And I wound up getting about $200 worth of apples when I compared the prices at Walmart, $200 worth of apples for $45. I have a lot of applesauce at my house right now. But it's just the cheapest way to get and put up food. And then you can do things like making your own soap. I don't use any store-bought cleaners anymore. I make it all myself. I can make 10 gallons worth of laundry detergent for about $3. If I bought that much Tide, it would cost me $192. So these are the kind of things that on the 9-12 end, we educate people on.
Well, and what I'm sure families are even more aware of what's in our food, and you know, but like buying canned food, and you don't know what it is or whatever's in there. So by canning your own, you're knowing every ingredient that's in there. I like that.
Absolutely, and you're using real sugar instead of high fructose corn syrup. With vegetables, you're using, you know, the amount of salt that you want instead of something that has a heavy, heavy sodium content. We also talk a lot about gardening tricks and things that you can do. Down here in Florida, we have a lot of retired people. Florida's where I live currently. We have a lot of retired people in patio communities where you get, you know, a 6 by 2 foot strip of grass. Well, you're not going to have the ability to garden. So we talk a lot about container gardening and the most effective ways to do that. In fact, we use globalbuckets.com. is a great site to check out. It's 2 high school kids that seriously ought to have earned the Nobel Peace Prize because they came up with a way to container garden, and they thought of this for Africa, actually, for poor soil and poor water conditions, and you can produce an amazing amount of food. And so we have a lot of people in patio communities here in Florida doing that. Also people in high-rises doing it right off their balcony. So you don't need a big yard to be able to grow your own food and make sure it's all natural. And the benefit of that and your own cleaners and stuff is you don't have all the chemicals and all the junk in your food and in your cleaners as well.
Well, and another suggestion that someone gave to me the other day, my husband, he works for a roofing company, and he's over the sheet metal division, and oftentimes they have scrap gutters that, you know, it's too small for the piece or it's cut off. And a girlfriend of mine that's in the area, she lives kind of like in the situation where she's got only a small backyard. Well, she's hanging gutters on her back fence.
That's a great idea.
Yep.
I love that. That's awesome. And we get into some other cool stuff, too. We talk about, you know, how to raise meat in your backyard, kind of under the radar, without ticking off your neighbors or breaking city codes. How to find meat for almost for free on the Internet. Like, did you know? Here's a fun one for you, and here's where everybody thinks I'm crazy. Pot-bellied pigs. Remember when those became these popular indoor house pets? I never quite understood having a farm animal in your house. But regardless, because the economy has gotten so bad, you find on Craigslist all the time that these animals that eat a lot and cost a lot to feed are winding up on there. Just for the same reason big dogs are winding up in shelters, pot-bellied pigs are winding up for free on Craigslist. Here's the thing. Pot-bellied pigs were raised by the Vietnamese to be a small source of pork that would fit in a very small backyard. It's bacon, folks. And if you can get it for free on Craigslist, bring it home, warm it, feed it for a month, and butcher that baby, and you just got yourself a free hog.
Right. Just don't let the kids fall in love with it.
Well, that's true. Never, ever name something you plan on eating.
Right.
But, and we, you know, milk goats and things like that. There's all kinds of things that you can do. And then we talk about storage tips and things like that. I just got a message by Benjamin Smith, by the way. He keeps trying to dial in, and it's knocking him off.
Okay. Oh, here he is. I got him, I think. Benjamin,
okay.
Are you on now?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm sorry you had trouble dialing in.
Oh, it's all right. It's probably my fault, I'm sure.
Okay. I do have one more question for you, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
Something maybe not as many people think about, but as a family with six cats, yes, I'm graduating to the cat lady category, and two large dogs, do you provide tips and tools for pets for their food?
Absolutely. You can make your own dog food. I've never made cat food before, but I have made dog food. And it's actually pretty cheap to make and pretty easy, and you can make a healthier food for your animals than what you're going to buy at the store. In fact, I've raised goats in the past, and goats and rabbits breed, rabbits. And so you can take that extra meat, mix it with some rice and some corn and vegetables and a little bit of onion, just a little, and a little teeny bit of garlic to prevent fleas, and you've got a really healthy animal, dog food at least. I don't have a recipe for cat food, but I will check that out for you because it is much cheaper than anything you're probably buying at the store and much healthier as well.
That's terrific. Do you have any more tips before we move on to E3?
Well, I do, but people will just have to come to the classes for that because I could take up your entire day.
Okay. Well, Benjamin, Joel introduced himself. Uh-oh, I think we might have lost him again. Are you still on?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. I think we lost Benjamin. But the three components that you've done. When I was traveling the state with Asimov, we kind of named our tour E3, and it's basically exactly what you based your E3 tour on, which is awesome. It's educate, empower, and engage. So would you like to address the education component?
Yeah, absolutely. I can address all three because I think all three kind of build on each other. E3 as you kind of stated there earlier, it stands for educate, empower, and engagement. Education is one tool. Most problems, most things that you're going to face in life have a very dynamic concept to them. They're not a linear approach. You just don't solve A and get to B. There's always exterior components that kind of feed the problem as the problem evolves. So education is that building block. It gives you the ability to kind of get the tools necessary to start responding to these environmental factors that you're having to deal with. It might not necessarily be a bad person inside the home. It might be natural disaster. It might be just something bad in a parking lot, in anywhere. And you have to be able to kind of create the language necessary, especially when you have kids, especially when you're the mother and you're doing it all by yourself, to be able to convey and to orchestrate the movement necessary for it.
And we just lost him. We have a caller. Let's see, 0089. Welcome to the Adventures of a Mom Patriot Show. Do you have a question?
Karina?
Yes.
Hi, this is Carolyn. We were talking last night at the meeting, and I was just going to call in. I just want to throw something in here for a minute. As you and all of us probably 3 years or 4 years ago now, we realized there was something wrong. And we've been studying what's going on, watch Glenn Beck, of course, but do our own homework. And what we have here in Brooksville is a wonderful idea. And mothers, and you can get together, get a couple books on eating the weeds. Sounds crazy now, doesn't it? But
no, absolutely not. That's one of the things we talk about in our classes is wild edibles. There's a lot of great food right in your backyard, and it's very nutritious.
I had Karina, I think you know her, but she came over in my yard, and she's just squealing like a little pig, and she's going, look at that, wood sorrels, you've got this and you've got that. And I said, Caroline, if I have to start making antibiotics and putting on my scratches, I just want to die, you know. But the more we got into it, it was like, there's a lot of good books out there. I was just trying to find the book that, but if you can find them. And mothers can do this. This is for antibiotics. Another good thing is, I don't know if you all make silver water, but do you drink silver water?
I just used that for the first time on my daughter this past summer. She had a terrible, terrible rotavirus stomach issue. And nothing was clearing it up. And I went down to the health food store and got some colloidal silver. And 4 hours later, she was done. She could hold food down, and she was healthy and happy. So I was quite impressed with it.
I'm babysitting my friend's dog, and it's a little Bichon, and he's been chewing on his butt. He's making a rash like crazy. So I took a little silver water on some cotton and put it down there, and voila, it's gone. So
wow.
With the silver water, I make it myself. It's very expensive in the health food store. Karina, you know who I am, and you can ask me. You just use distilled water, batteries, and two rods of silver, and you cook it for 40 minutes, and you've got your silver water. And anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. You know, I'm also
That's fantastic. Thank you.
Food storage business too, but. It's a great thing. And I just want to say that about the weeds, because it is another option. And actually, everything that's out there in Florida just about is edible. Even bee berries,
yeah.
Which we all think is poison. No. I had a friend make some jam out of that, and it was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, and dandelions. It kills me when people kill their dandelions. And those grow all over the country. Dandelion leaves are fantastic on salad. It tastes, it has a little bit slightly peppery taste, kind of like radicchio. Dandelions make great wine, by the way. They're fantastic. Chickweed is great also in salads. And basically, the rule of thumb really is if you see your chickens eating it, you can eat it. There's a lot of great food right around.
She made a chickweed pie and brought it to our meeting, and it was like, oh, you got to be kidding. But it was like a quiche, and it's like spinach.
Yep.
So it was
yep.
absolutely, as long as you don't put fertilizer on your lawn, you're okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you wouldn't have to weed. So. Yep. Anyway, that was my two cents.
And another thing that's a great edible in coastal areas is sago palms. They grow like weeds. They're everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And they're great food, too, because it always kind of cracks me up when you hear about people that are starving or malnourished or whatever. A little bit of education can take care of that quite easily. You don't have to spend any money, really, if you put your mind to it, to feed yourself and your family and feed yourselves well.
The other thing, I've been storing stuff, but now I'm doing the dry instead of the canning.
Mm-hmm.
Use a food saver, and you just take like an old spaghetti jar, and you buy your rice or whatever at the store, and you just put it in a spaghetti jar, and you suction that air out of there, and that's good for about 5 years. So there's a lot. It's from old jars, so keep your old glass jars, and someday you'll use them. And that's
absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely.
So,
great. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. We'll definitely.
If you want to know how to make silver water, just give me a jingle, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You got my number right? Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Karina, you got it. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
So, Karina, I'm getting texts from the guys that they're calling back in and they're getting bounced like right back off a few seconds at the time. Do you see either
actually,
one of them back
I'm on. Can you hear me now? Yes.
Holy cow. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's happening. I swear I'm not pressing any buttons.
The staff doesn't want us to teach people.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to E3 Core. I want to hear a little bit more about that now.
Okay. Well, I don't know how much of it you caught the last time, but I'll just kind of pick up on that education piece on being the fundamental and the platform for the rest of the program. You know, a lot of those dynamic solutions that you need to kind of engage when you're out there with your family, when you're with yourself, when you're with your husband or what have you, all depends on communication. And some of those education factors there kind of they never really get brought up in traditional training. So what E3 Core does is create the environment. We create the situation as real as possible so that we can put you in it in the safest possible fashion so that you can actually see what you are and are not capable of doing in extreme conditions. And that kind of leads down to that second component, which is the empowerment. You can have tools. You can have education. But if you don't really have the will to and the empowerment to be able to deploy them, to be able to exercise them, then it's not really as engaging. It doesn't give you the opportunity to come out of it successfully, even though you have the tools. So that's where that empowerment comes in there, is to be able to give you the ability to take those tools that you have and apply them. And then the engagement part really comes down to you being able to go out in the world and not be afraid. Yeah, you know, who knows what kind of past experiences every person has. It varies from one person, one woman, one child. Depends on what part of the country you're from. Everybody's got a different story. So now, by having all three of these core fundamentals kind of there to feed you through the entire situation, you become a little bit more, you can become a lot more capable of becoming in control of your surrounding, your situation, and everything that goes on around you.
Okay, I have a question here that you cover on your website, and let's give listeners your website so they can go there too.
That's going to be e3core.com.
Okay. And one of the things you cover is why E3 solutions and not traditional training. Can you address that?
Traditional training is a theoretical concept to a certain degree. It never really puts you as the student or the person taking that class into a situation where you have to work with your own elements. A lot of the things that we do put you inside your home. So if it's a home hardening or a family-type preparedness or situational preparedness, we're going to put you in a situation where you actually have to respond to your environment because that's realistic. And as much as we can, we try to do it in your home. We try to do it in the place of your business. We try to do it in the areas that are similar but not exact to the areas that you have possible problems with. And by doing that, what we do is we take traditional training and we basically accelerate it to the point where it's functional. rather than talking about it into a class and going out on a flat range and talking about the concepts that could happen, we actually put you through those. And we do that safely with our less lethal system, and we're able to convert, you know, a pistol or rifle or whatever you use for your home defense or personal defense, and we turn it into a training weapon at that point in time. And that's what gives us the ability to do these things out into the public and out in public areas safely, is because there's no harm to the existing structures or the people or anything of that nature, and we're able to really drill home the concept of what it is that you need to do.
So if you give us an example of what kind of setting you might take a person into to provide them, like, for situational awareness?
Situational awareness starts at the home. It really does. And we take it from the home to the front door to the car all the way to the parking lot at Walmart. Situational awareness is exactly that. It is the situation that you're in and the environment in which you're in at all times. So, and it's a typical, if we're doing something with a young woman or a mother with her children, we'll come into the home and we'll ask them to kind of go through their daily routines and look for the holes and the gaps that potentially could cause harm. And then we kind of go through that whole lifestyle, and then we start to exercise at that point in time how she would respond. And then from that point, we start to elevate the aggression level, and we start to become a little bit more aggressive. We start to kind of invade things a little bit more aggressively, and we like to see how the plans, because everybody's got a preconceived idea of what they're going to do. And E3 Core has the ability to basically test that to see what you are capable of doing, not what you're thinking you're capable of doing, but what you are capable of doing. And once we iron out all those little aspects of preconceived ideas of what you're able to do, then we have the ability to work on what you are able to do, make it efficient, make it yours, and give you the empowerment to basically use it when you need to.
That's awesome. So also you cover what law enforcement agencies can help with situational awareness. Can you give us a little bit of insight on what law enforcement, what situation?
Well, law enforcement has a very limited capability to a certain degree in order to engage the public. So for the most part, they're undermanned, they're under budget, and they don't have the resources to really get out there and engage the community the way that they need to. So every time that we do a mobile training event or we do a seminar, what we do is we reach out to law enforcement in those areas, and we give them the opportunity to kind of understand what program we're doing and how the technology that we utilize for doing our training can be utilized with them, and it also gives them the opportunity to realize what we're trying to do for the community. More than anything, this is a citizen, this is a female, this is a family, this is the community's it's their service that we're providing, and we try to engage law enforcement at every point in time so they don't feel threatened, and they also understand that the people that we're training are going to be a little bit better off now. Not the fact that they can do it on their own, but they understand now that there's some people that are actually responsibly being trained and have the opportunity to actually exercise that.
One of the topics you cover is urban. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah, and I'm sorry you kind of broke up there, but I'll try to fill it in. They're urban. There's a point in time, if you're talking about the urban situational awareness, the urban preparedness aspect of it, in times of civil unrest or natural disaster or things of this nature, Stephanie's done a great job of putting everything together for you so you have the ability to sustain for a certain period of time. But at some point in time, you know, you might have to move out of the home. You might have to get out through a situation, or you might have to go back to home where your stores are at. And so what we do is we teach the family, we teach the individual to navigate through urban situations, because the reality is the first 72 hours that everything happens is going to be chaos. And if you can't make it to wherever you're going to need to go in 72 hours, chances are the ability for you to get out of there gets harder and harder. So what we do there is we go through an urban situation. We teach you how to navigate through and how to either drive through, how to walk through, and how to set yourself up to be able to sustain the period of time necessary for you to get out of it.
So how much of situational awareness is planning ahead versus knowing what to do in a pinch. Make sense?
Situational awareness is a dynamic concept. You can be prepared all that you want to, but if you don't see the problem coming or you can't avoid the problem, then that's where having some skills have the ability to help you out. But if you can avoid a situation, that's far better than having to engage it at every step during the way. Some people like to put on the fight. Some people like to get there and hit it straight on. But when you're talking about a woman with a couple kids or by herself, the last thing she needs to do at that point in time is engage every problem that's facing her. Any time that you have the ability to avoid it, that's situational awareness. Yeah? Or maybe it's more dynamic and there's multiple problems that you need to engage or avoid. You have to pick the best one that you are capable of handling and deal with that one at that point in time.
Well, you also mentioned home hardening. Can you just give an explanation, a little bit of an explanation about that for our listeners?
Home hardening is essentially, the title is somewhat self-descriptive, but it goes beyond that. Coming up with safe rooms and points in the house where penetration inside the house may or may not be capable of. A lot of people have alarms or they believe that they have secure homes with bars and things of that nature. There is no such thing as a fail-safe house. At some point in time, somebody can get in there. So coming up with a plan gives you the opportunity to harden your home so that you can communicate with your kids or your loved ones to be able to get to safe points, or maybe there is an intruder inside the home. Having the dialogue where everybody, or the plan necessary to know where everybody's supposed to go, so that if you have to pull that trigger, you know that if a round misses that person, that it's not going to hit anybody that you love, and having accountability for anything that happens inside that house. So that's what home hardening does, is it basically prepares the family for movement inside the house and possibly to go outside the house to keep themselves safe and to harden certain points in rooms or certain areas inside the home that are designated safe spots that will ensure a higher survivability.
Well, and like, example, my father teaches or taught the inner safety course, and one of the videos, it shows a mom in a room and their home had been invaded. And they don't hear anything for a while, so she wants to send her kids to safety, and so she sends them out of the room to go get help, and then next thing you know it, the kids have been, you know, captured by the person that broke in the house, and now there's a hostage-type situation. So is that kind of what you're saying about planning
yes.
your awareness of that? Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Because a lot of times that situation that you just described happened because there was no plan. There was no accountability for what would happen and how people would get out. And it's not to say that it's going to work 100% of the time, but I'd rather have a plan in place than not to have one at all, because then your chances of failure increase by not having a plan there. And to a certain degree, you don't know exactly what elements you're going to be going into. And it could be an intruder. It could be a natural disaster. It could be a tornado, hurricane. It could be an earthquake. There could be a multitude of things that you need to respond to. Creating the dialogue that you have with your loved ones and your children really set the tone. It's kind of like the difference between me talking passively and me talking aggressively. My children know that if I have a certain tone, that it's not a time to argue, it's not a time to question, it's time to snap to, and it's time to follow my instructions. A lot of people don't go through that. A lot of times mothers raise their voices to be angry, but they never really tell their children or sit them down to say, this is when you hear these words or when you hear this tone, this means that something is wrong. I need you to listen and follow my instructions.
That's vital. That's vital.
I need to learn that.
Actually, you know, Stephanie, there's also the look that you get from the mom, but if your kids are in the other room, the look doesn't work very well.
Well, that's one of the
true.
Things that we do is keywords. There's a lot of times, we did a training situation where I snuck into the garage and I told the wife, who I just held hostage, I said, now I want you to go through the door, because they had a great security system, but I had, I had our training gun into her back, and I made her open up the door that has security locks, so I gained entry into the house through her, through the garage. And then I sat there at the bottom of a stairwell, and I asked her to go ahead and say whatever she could to alarm her husband without making it, without screaming or acting outrageous. I said, just say a couple things that'll alarm him. And he didn't know that there was anything wrong at that point in time. So coming up with the key words, you know, if you never call your husband Snuggle Puff or anything like that, and you come inside the house and you say, hey, hon, how's Snuggle Puff doing or something, that's that key word for him to say something's wrong. And that initiates the rest of the plan, that initiates the action necessary to make things safer.
That is, so would that be one of your low-impact scenario responses?
Yes, and that's, you know, that from the home hardening, that's key to create the communication, to create the dialogue with the people that are inside the home. We like to work with everybody that's inside the home, the children, the dogs, whatever it is, when we go inside there, because that's what you're going to have to deal with. And it might as well be as realistic as possible, and that's one of the advantages that we have, is being able to go inside somebody's actual home and safely perform all this training. Because it creates the solution.
Well, and you know, you brought up a really good point. I have two very large dogs, and they're a black lab and an American pit bull. And whenever anyone even knocks on the door, they go bananas. And so, and a friend of mine the other day said, and it sounds like somebody else has a dog, but a friend of mine the other day. Said to me, well, I could never shoot anybody. And I made the comment, well, you know what, if they continue to try and break into my house, or if they make it in and my dog, without my dogs coming after, you know, going after them, I'm going to pretty much, and I'm going to say this with my outside voice on radio, shoot them. I'm going to shoot them center mass and hope they go down. And, I mean, because I'm going to protect my family from someone that's obviously not right in the head. So, but coming back to my point, I thought about it a while later. I'm like, how am I going to not shoot one of my dogs?
Exactly. Now, I will say we don't have dog suits. So, I mean, we don't train with dogs that actively bite on us. That's one thing we, you know, probably haven't done yet. I'll have to look into that as far as the realism and scenario. But you're absolutely right, because now you're engaging a target that you have your dogs, or it could be a family member, in between you that's holding the gun and the bad person. And what do you do in that situation? Do you take that shot? Do you not? Do you let the dogs do their work? Anything that you can do, and I know you're a dog lover, and it sounds like you're turning into a cat lover here as well. But anything you can do to avoid the situation, yeah, understand that, you know, your dogs are there to protect you, and they're doing their job. That is, they are doing their job. And if they do their job well, you don't have to pull that trigger. Now, a lot of pet owners get overly zealous and overly protective because they view that dog or their family pet as something that's even more than just a pet. You know, they're acting instinctively, and to a certain degree, you need to let them act instinctively so that you can keep yourself safe.
So, like,
and I will say, if I could interject here, because I grew up with dogs, and my family raised shepherds, and my parents actually worked with the police department in the canine dog training. One thing that you will find is a lot of people, now yours is an exception because you have a pit, and certain breeds tend to be more protective, but a lot of people often think that the fact that they have a big dog is all the safety they need. I can tell you that's not the case. With the over-socialization of most dogs, you know, they tell you at the pet training, take them to every store you can bring them to. Bring them to PetSmart. Let everyone pet them. The problem is when the pet guys come to your house, they lean over and say, hey, boy, and tap their leg and pet the dog, and the dog leads them straight to your jewelry box. And that's really honestly what happens more often than not. The other thing that often happens is if your dog is a more protective of your family, I've seen this happen too with some of the shepherds that we raised, is the pet guys just throw a stake over the fence that's got drugs in it. And if your dog's not trained to never accept food from someone else, he's going to eat it, and there goes your hoped-for defense. So don't count on your dog being your only protection at the house or your only warning sign, I guess is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I've got a whole new perspective now, and I recognize what you say about some people would want to protect their dog from the bad guy. But in that situation, I would think now that I would take my children to the safety of somewhere else and let the dogs handle it. What is that something that you're saying to, you would recommend? Or
absolutely. I mean, if you have a plan, a safe place to put yourself in between, you know, those barriers, you need to create as many barriers as you can so you can create the necessary chain of events to protect yourself. That dog is one of those barriers at that point. And then you need to, you know, either get to your safe spots or organize your family to the point where you can either defend yourselves or do whatever's next. And that's every plan, every family is different. And one of the things that we're able to do with E3 is actually push you to that threshold where you actually have to pull the trigger. What we do puts you in a position that I look you straight in the eye as a bad person, as I'm, you know, trying to attack you, as I'm trying to get to you to get my way with whatever I'm trying to do. You have to pull the trigger on me. If I get to you before you pull the trigger on me, I've won.
Right.
And that's the threshold that most people, you can't train to. Typical training does not get to. That's what we train you up to, that point. And then we push you a little bit farther past it because we want you to win. Every woman, every family member, everybody that takes a course with us, we want you to win because that's an empowerment issue. If we just beat you down and we just make you feel like we're the best and you never get the opportunity to know, okay, I got pushed past my threshold, but I won and now I can go past it and then build your self-confidence to the point where your self-esteem has the ability to take on bigger problems, then you're safe. Then you have the ability to hold that gun and you're going to know exactly what you're capable of doing.
Well, and I love the fact, too, that part of what they do in all of this is some of the basic stuff. One of my biggest pet peeves is my friends who, they get a gun from their boyfriend or their husband for Christmas. Maybe they go out to the range once, and then it sits in a closet or in a drawer or the gun safe. Well, the problem with that kind of thinking is if you've got to sit there and think about where the safety is and think about whether the clip is in it and everything like this, you're dead, and so are your kids. You have to know how to shoot and know your weapon inside and out so that it is absolutely instinctive should you have to use it. And that's kind of an entry-level thing that E3 Core provides, too, is that familiarity with your weapon, getting used to it, knowing how to shoot it, and then with the next step of going in and knowing how to react with it, again, without thinking, just instinctively do.
Well, and I also, what really impressed me as well, because, you know, a lot of women, they might be intimidated by taking classes from big, scary, you know, retired military guys. And no offense, Joel.
No offense. None taken.
We also have E3 Solutions for Women. Can you go over, and it's women teaching women how to do this, right?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact, exactly what you said. Certain past events really trigger certain emotional components with women. So by having an all-female-driven course with the augmentation of having a male as part of the tools necessary to provide training, not necessarily the instruction, what you're able to do is you're able to grab that empathy and you're able to grab some commonality that you can open up to. A lot of women, when you know a man starts to come after them, or if I send a trigger that maybe you've had a past experience and you start to go down that road, it's difficult. Even with my healthcare background, it's difficult to try to nurture a woman back into a safe place where they're still going to learn. Another woman has the ability to do that. And because there's commonality, there's the same language, and also it shows from a peer level that, yes, this woman has the ability to do it. Now I can do it, and I feel more confident in being able to do that. So that women's only solution with E3 Core really provides that component, because we don't want the testosterone level. There's a different component. We can go down that road, but what we need is for women to understand what needs to happen for them to be safe. And whatever vehicle that we can provide that with is what we're trying to do with E3 Core.
Well, and you also, another thing that I wanted to go over with, some of our listeners are home educators. I've home educated for 18 years. And, you know, so our children are a little bit more participated, not as exposed to situations on a daily basis that kids in public school would have to be aware of. So do you have any kind of program or for home-educated kids to, or home-education families that would be able to introduce them with situational awareness without possibly
absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's the family component. We have family-based solutions here. And when you talk about homeschooling, I was homeschooled for a couple of years, so I understand to a certain degree. I wasn't homeschooled my entire life, so... But I understand that there's a separation. But most of the time when you're homeschooling, you're, as a parent, you're more watchful. You're doing activities together. So really the burden of the responsibility of becoming aware really falls on you as the educator, the mother, the parent at that point in time, because you take on a different role when you start to homeschool or home educate. So from that aspect, incorporating the entire family into a situation like this gives your children the ability to have an edge, but not necessarily the type of, you don't want to overload them, you don't want to overexpose them. That's something that you made a choice to home educate because of certain reasons. And so the last thing we need to do as an organization is to give the superpowered data dump into a situation where your children really don't necessarily understand it, nor will they ever have to hopefully ever understand it, because you're there with them all the time. And let them take, during natural course of life, let them kind of experience things under your guidance with a lot more protection.
Well, that's good to know, because and I'm glad that you have some experience with home education, because, Some in the public, in the general public, basically don't understand that, like you said, as families, we decided to keep our children home in my opinion, I have a 9-year-old and a 14-year-old daughter, and from what I see that goes on in the schools, I really don't appreciate and don't want my daughters to be exposed to all of that. So it's awesome to know that you have an understanding that we made that decision, and that they might not need to know everything, but they do need to know the basics.
Right. That's essentially everything that we do. Yes, we have a curriculum. Yes, we have structure to our programs. But as soon as we engage you as the person, as soon as we engage you as a family or whatever solution we're doing one-on-one, that becomes your solution. And our job, for the most part, is to understand what you're capable of, what your limitations are, push you to it, and then try to push you past it so that you can become stronger, but make them yours. My solution to doing things is going to be different than yours, and to the next person and the next person. So as instructors, what we accelerate at is understanding what you're trying to achieve and what you're actually able to achieve, and make it your solution.
Well, Stephanie, do you guys have any events coming up that you would like to announce, or is
we've
to contact you?
We've got a bunch coming up, actually. We're still working out some scheduling on regional events, so I can't give you places and time yet. But we also will come down to groups specifically. We did Lakeland recently, Lakeland 912 project. We did the preparation half of it, and we'll be coming down into the Florida area in the very near future to do the full aspect of it, and we'll schedule things like that. If it's not something that's already on our regional, we'll take a look at doing something with a number of groups if we can schedule them all together, simply because of the travel. It makes it get a bit more expensive if we only come down for one and off of the regular training schedule. But if we can group a number of groups together, you know, a couple days at a time, that makes it cheaper for all of the groups involved to have us come in.
So in order for, if the groups are interested, how would you them contact you?
The best way for them to contact us is through E3 Core. Joel, do you want to give the web address and the phone number?
The web address is e3core.com, and most of the correspondence, if it's done online, is probably the easiest way, because and the phone number and the contact information is all online there on the contact page as well. But as far as groups, if there's a small group, we can manage things accordingly. And there again, too, if there's something specific that people are really trying to reach in their community, if there's problems that plague a specific community that they need addressed, we're capable of handling that as well. Let's just put it that way. So, I mean, we don't want to exclude anybody, but at the same token, we want to make it as efficient and cost-effective for the people to participate as well.
Well said, Joel.
That is great. I want to thank you both for coming on today, and I don't know. Tell Benjamin I'm sorry he couldn't get through. I was watching him pop up, and it, almost before I could click to connect him, it would drop off on him. So big brother is trying to keep the information from everybody.
I would not be surprised.
No.
Well, and Stephanie, will you just please give our listeners the web address for the National 912 Party, too, because you guys have a lot of great things going on there.
Absolutely. For more information on any of the things that the 912 Project is working on the national and local level, you can go to the912project.com. And if you go over to the Advocacy and Preparedness tab, you can drop down, and we have some information on gardening already there. We've got some of my favorite recipes for cleaning supplies there, which is just an awesome resource in and of itself, whether it's laundry detergent, fabric softener, dishwasher detergent, leather cleaner, you name it. We've got recipes up there for you to share, and we're adding more and more to that as we go along with this endeavor. Maybe we'll add that colloidal silver recipe too. But the912project.com for all of your information on what's going on with the 912.
That's great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you coming in. You're welcome to stay on. I'm going to do some house cleaning and make some announcements for some other projects that I work with. So. But if you have other stuff to do, you're welcome to come or stay or go, I guess, is my point.
Thank you so much for having us, Karina.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too. Well, that was amazing information. I'm hoping that everyone will actually go to the websites that were listed, PatriotSupportService.com. We'll have those we'll have those websites listed for in the resources page, and I just want to make a few announcements. We have some exciting stuff going on with Go. It's GOOOH.com. We've got new candidates coming on board. There's three in Florida. We have Darren Ayers. He's going to be challenging a 42-year incumbent. The longest-serving congressman, and we have E.J. Otero. He's going to be running in the Republican primary, and when he wins, he's going to be challenging Kathy Castor in Tampa. And we have Byron Donald. He's going to be running for down in Collier and Lee County, and I believe it's District 14. But the exciting thing that I want to announce is that we're starting a Congressional Challengers Project with Go. That's GOOOH.com. So if any of the listeners know of a grassroots citizen statesman that has chosen to stand up and run against run for Congress against an incumbent, Go would like to get in touch with you. We would like to be able to bring as many people that are quality individuals and are go up to the U.S. House and represent the people. We want you to connect with us and join our team. And for all of you that would like to help send True Citizen Statesmen to Congress, please go to GOOOH.com and get involved. It's really time to take the U.S. House back to the people and take it away from the special interest group. I want to thank everybody for joining us today, and I really appreciate the followers that we have on our show. If you want to follow our show, you'll be updated on our future guests. We got Barbara Samuels from the 912 Super Seniors is going to be on next week. She's an amazing lady, and a frequent caller to the show, so I'm looking forward to hearing from Barbara and getting some tips for the seniors on how they can engage in their communities and their families and help teach the next generation how special our country is. Everyone have a great day, and I look forward to a fabulous show next week.